What's up, homies? I'm Roshane, and welcome back to another spooky movie. Okay, so right out the gate, I know that this is kind of weird. I know you guys got some questions, but I'm just going to lay it out right at the top. Yes, it is just me this week. I know it's supposed to be Erica's pick this week. However, when we were trying to pick the movie, I just really wasn't feeling the movie that Erica wanted to do. And that kind of led to a bigger conversation that kind of spiraled. And from there, we just decided that perhaps it would be better if I would just come and do it by myself since I didn't like her pick. And, you know, we really try and keep our personal drama off the show, but unfortunately, I kind of bled in this week, so I'm riding solo, but I promise that this week's episode is going to be a lot of fun. We got a dope movie to talk about.
Are you?
And we're still...
Are you being serious right now?
Hey, Erica, what's up? How you doing?
You know what?
It's not, you know what it looks like.
Go ahead and cut your mic. We're going to talk about this later.
Okay. I'm sorry. Okay. Bye.
You're fucking crazy. Because why would they even think that you would have...
What's up, homies? I'm Erica.
And I'm Roshane.
And as always, thank you so much for hanging out with us today as we dive into another spooky movie together, as it should be, as the universe just as the universe expects it to be.
Yeah, sorry if that frightened anyone. We are totally okay. It is fine. We just thought it'd be kind of funny to pull a little fast one on you.
Yeah, a little hee-hee, a little ha-ha. To be clear, we would never record an episode
without each other.
Yeah, we're the homies of horror.
Plural.
And that's simply how it is. And that's just the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it's going to be. So... no need to worry about that. I'll let Roshane stream solo. That is true. But yeah, just a little April Fool's joke.
Yeah. It's a joke. It's a joke. It's fun.
It's just a joke. It's just a little funny joke. But yeah, that being said, we do actually have a movie that we agreed on to talk about today to also go in theme with the day, with the holiday.
Exactly. So, you know, we are still kind of falling in the wacky realm for this week's pick. Granted, it is still Erica's pick, but there was a little collaboration on this one about what film that we should do. And funny enough, it's weird that it lined up this way. But it's kind of a great time to cover Scary Movie because I feel like Scream recently has been on a lot of people's minds.
Yeah.
So what better time for us to go back to one of the most well-known and often quoted parody movies of all time?
Yes. You know why I'm excited to cover this movie? Because it kind of also gives us, basically what you said, like, through talking about this movie, we can also touch on some aspects of the movies that it parodies, because for the most part, we've covered the main movies that it's parodying, we've already covered.
True.
And so, I don't know, I'm like kind of excited to be able to touch on some of the things that they highlight within this film. It's been a while since I've seen this, and not to say that we couldn't ever cover Scary Movie, because it's definitely within our wheelhouse, but I do think that it's the type of movie where it's just a little bit harder, I think, to find time to fit in
right.
to our normal rotation, just because it does feel it is so heavy comedic. Obviously, it does have horror elements, but all in the name of parody. And so it was a little bit more of a stretch, I feel like, for us to just rope Scary Movie in at any time. So it felt like a really nice excuse to use April Fool's Day to cover this movie. And I feel like it's kind of fun to have a movie where have it where we can have the title of this episode just Scary Movie, because mm-hmm. that is what we do. We cover scary movies. I think it works. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, it should be fun. And now we'll hop into the discussion here in a second, but question, and you don't have to have an answer to this because I don't think I have an answer to this, but do you think you could quantify the amount of times you have actually seen Scary Movie?
Yes, probably. I've probably seen it I'm going to say for the original Scary Movie, I've probably seen this one like 7 times.
Okay.
Six to seven times, because I've seen Scary Movie 2 and Scary Movie 3 more than I've seen Scary Movie.
Okay.
And there was a period of time where I remember they had this shit on heavy rotation on Comedy Central.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to sit there every single time it came on. I watched it. That being said, this is another one of those movies where, oh my God, I don't think I've ever seen the uncensored version.
So there was really?
A lot of stuff in this movie that this is the very first time I'm seeing this movie, not like censored for TV.
Oh,
so there was
wow.
a lot of moments in this movie that I was sat aghast thinking, that's what the joke was this whole time? I had no fucking idea what was really happening because they cut it weird for TV.
True, true. Yeah, it's like, why does Ray have that bandage on his ear? You never really know.
Yeah. Some moments that actually were a little bit of a jump scare for me that we'll talk about when we get further in the episode. Because I was like, oh shit. Halfway through this, I realized, I was like, I've never seen the intended version of this film. So by default, I'm assuming I've never seen the intended version of any of the scary movies, because anytime I've seen a scary movie, it has been on TV.
Okay. Okay. That's very interesting. But I will say, memory serving me right, I can't think of too much from like the sequels that they would have had to cut out the way that they had to cut out some of the stuff from the original. Because the original takes it all the way there, where the sequels do, but I don't think anywhere near to the degree that the first one does. Don't quote me on that. It's been a while since I've seen the sequels.
Maybe the second one.
Maybe the second one has
some like sex stuff, like some raunchy stuff that they probably had to trim down.
Yeah. The freezer scene was probably a little bit shorter in the made-for-TV version.
The ghost sex scene was probably not quite even though it felt hella long. Even watching it on TV, I remember thinking, this is long, right?
Well, it's long in both versions, so who's to say? But, I mean, all the jokes, all the April Fooling aside, mm-hmm. we do have to scale this somehow. I don't know if a scare scale is necessarily the best way.
I feel as though we should do some kind of, like, laugh scale or humor scale.
Humor?
Just because of the main part of the reason we chose this movie is because it's a comedy to
True.
Match with the day. So I feel like we have to rate it on that
okay.
sort of scale.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with like a humor scale. That sounds good.
Okay. Okay. So on a scale of 1 to 5, 5 is you knocked it out of the park. I'm laughing. I'm pissing myself. I'm laughing so hard. That's 5. 1 is I didn't even crack a smile. How embarrassing for you.
Mm-hmm.
Where would you put Scary Movie?
Okay. My gut reaction to that question, in this day and age, is a 3 out of 5. Ask me that when I'm a teenager, it would have been like a 6, 7, 8. But again, this is from 2000, so not all of these jokes have aged very well. Not everything lands the way that it necessarily landed back then. However, even watching this movie today, there are parts that just make me bust out laughing. Like, I mm-hmm. do think this movie is still madly hilarious, and there's a lot of parts that I do love. So I'm gonna go with my gut. I'm gonna say a 3 out of 5 on the humor scale.
Okay. I am also going to say it a 3 out of 5. I honestly think that that's where I would have landed just in general, because I will hold that the first Scary Movie has not always been the funniest Scary Movie to me in general. But I also will say that it's not the first one I saw. Mm-hmm. So I also think I just have like kind of fondness for some of the other ones. And they just matched my humor maybe a little bit more just because of the time that I saw them. But I will say this one, the moments that were funny to me are still funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, there is a lot of this movie where I still laugh at the same parts that I always have.
Yeah.
And the parts that aren't funny to me have never been funny to me. So it's just one of those things where, like, I think in general, for this movie, I would probably just always be a 3 out of 5, because there is some stuff, like you said, like, let's just go point blank period. Let's just go into this knowing this is a 2000. This movie is from 2000, and yeah, therefore the humor reflects it. That being said, it's still pretty solid in some points. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely think 3 out of 5. And honestly, too, the movies that they're parodying are still as relevant now as they were then, which I also think helps, because, like, at least for us, I mean, I guess that's not the case for everybody, but like, for us, I'm like, these movies are still just like, we watch these movies just as much as we did. So that also is helpful, is we still know exactly what they're referencing, and it still tracks for most of us.
True.
Also, I do wonder, so the last Scary Movie came out in 2013. We were a proper country then. I wonder what it would do for the balance of the world if they released another Scary Movie. I'm just saying, it's been we don't know what happened. We don't know what would happen.
You know what? We'll talk. But all right, homies, we are entering into spoiler territory, so you have been warned. But today we're talking about Scary Movie from the year 2000. This film was directed by Keenan Ivory Wayans and was written by Sean Wayans, Marlon Wayans, and Buddy Johnson, and is starring John Abrams as Bobby, Sean Wayans as Ray, Regina Hall as Brenda, Marlon Wayans as Shorty, Shannon Elizabeth as Buffy, and Anna Faris as Cindy. After the brutal murder of one of their classmates, a group of teens remember an incident from 1 year prior. Cindy and her group were involved in a hit and run which left a fisherman dead. Instead of telling the police, they dump the body, hoping to move on with their lives. Now, a mysterious ghost-faced killer is hunting down every person who... Wait, where have I heard this one before? Insert school-side trailer homes, aquarium-sized bong rips, and not another teen murder mystery here. Our film concludes with Cindy and friends facing off against the masked killer at a killer house party. Will they manage to survive? And are we sure we haven't seen this one before? Also, what's up? Roll credits.
Just so you all know, also, the amount of times that Roshane and I will hop on this and we'll be like, so what's up? And then one of us will say, nothing, chilling, killing.
And the other will go, it's true.
Crazy.
True. Okay, but since you, one, that is 100% true. But two, since you bring that up, funny enough, I had no idea that this was based off an actual thing. I should have known.
Oh, really?
That it was based off an actual thing, but I just found out from reading the IMDb that this was based off of, if you were like me and didn't know, the What's Up sequence was based off of a 1999 Budweiser commercial titled True, which I did, of course, watch. I was like, no fucking way. It's an exact replica. But I had no idea. Like, the whole what's up thing was always just me and my friends in, like, elementary, middle school just quoting this film. Like, this film was where that originated for me.
Right. Well, and what you didn't know is your teachers were probably looking at you guys like, no, I know damn well they're not quoting a Budweiser commercial.
They should not know this.
That's crazy.
But yeah, I mean, that was a big surprise. But what is no surprise is I love that scene. That to this day, to this day, one of my favorite scenes in just movie history, I think. Like, it's for silly reasons, but the joy that that scene brings me every single time I see it is just unmatched.
I just love, one of my favorite parts of that scene is the mask.
When the mask changes, yeah, it's so good.
One of the best parts. But my little fun fact for this episode that I've been sitting on is actually, Anna Faris almost ran into me at a Ralph's when I was living in LA. Like, and when I say almost ran into me, I mean she literally almost ran me over with her car. It wasn't her fault because it was on the 4th of July and it was a very packed Ralph's. And I could tell that she probably was trying to get some last minute shit that she needed to, like, get back to her house. But she came running around the corner with her car and I was, like, around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost hit each other. And she was like, oh. And I went, oh, and she was like, sorry, and then went around me. But yeah, it was her. She's very, like, petite in real life. Oh. Like, I remember after she left, I was like, she's shorter than I was expecting. For some reason, I don't know why.
Mm-hmm.
I was expecting her to be, like, very tall. But yeah.
I mean, with her cart. That's pretty wild. Yeah. I'm a little disappointed that you didn't look her in the eyes and say, what are you waiting for? Missed opportunity, but...
She almost ran me over with a car. I was spooked. What do you mean? I'm not quick on the fly when I've almost been hit at high speeds.
Okay. All right.
Fair, I should have ran away. Should have ran away like she runs
in the movie. Movie that run is fantastic.
Floppy arms.
So there's so many fun, memorable bits from this movie. And the way that they are just burned into my long-term memory is fantastic. But all right, let's go ahead. Let's hop into this. Erica, with this loosely being your pick for this week, talk to me. What's in your notebook?
Okay, well, would it surprise you to know that I did not take any notes on this movie at all?
It wouldn't, honestly. I did have to force myself to take notes on this one, honestly.
Mainly because, A, I've seen it so many times, but also because it's just... Oh, wait, no, that's not... I took one note.
Oh, okay.
It's a little bit of a jump
into
it, but I guess this is a good time for us to talk about it since I alluded to it in the opening, is that the one note I wrote was a line from Buffy when she says... we just have to act like it didn't happen. Like the time we got drunk and went down on each other when she says that. The reason I wrote it is because that's a line that has always been bleeped for me. So I never knew she said that. Like they didn't even, I remember in the, when I used to watch it, they didn't even like try and put something there that made sense. I don't even know if they had words there or if they just silenced it or if they actually like had her say something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I always remember watching that part and being confused because I didn't understand what the joke was. Like I didn't know what she was trying to say. This is the first time I've ever heard what it was meant to be. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Okay. I get it. That's one of the ones. Mm-hmm. I mean, the penis impalement is one of that one actually had me shaken and I laughed. I was on the phone when that happened and I started laughing. I was like, I don't remember what happened there in the TV version.
Me neither, but let me tell you this because we're on this train of fun facts. I do think that the penis impalement was what triggered my young brain into realizing that movies were censored for TV. That never crossed my mind when I was younger, that there were alternate versions for film and then there was alternate versions for like just streaming on cable TV. Never really thought about that. That was until I saw Scary Movie, because originally, don't remember how, I saw the full, in all of its glory, unrated, uncensored version of Scary Movie. And so that was the version of the movie that I remembered. And so every single time it would pop up on TV, post that first watch, every time I got to the bathroom sequence, I would be waiting for the penis impalement, and it would never happen. And it would just rewire my little brain. I was like, what happened? I know something happens there. It would even go so far as, like, I would go back, find the uncensored version to, like, double check. Like, did I make that up in my brain?
You couldn't have.
Couldn't have. It's very visceral. You see everything.
It's crazy. I don't even remember, because first of all, a penis comes out and tickles Ray on the ear. I don't know what that was in the TV version either. Because
the TV version, he still goes into that bathroom. Now, granted, I do have a note that is like, this scene, unrated or rated, whatever, the scene makes no sense. Like, it's one of those gags that is completely and utterly unnecessary. The movie does not need it at all. But even still, like, you see everything.
I just never thought, I feel as though I've lived a lie for like 24 years, because I just never could have foreseen this. Mm-hmm. I never could have known this was the truth. And I just never expected to see such a thing as a penis going all the way through Ray's ear. Plural, going in one ear and out the other. It looks absurd, mm-hmm. and like in the best way. But I feel like I assumed that it was just like kind of like what happens in the actual movie of Scream 2. I think I assumed it was probably like it was a knife or some shit.
Yeah,
and he just got hurt. And which I don't know why that would have been in there if it would have just been that. But like I said, I didn't know. That was new. The picture of Greg naked was new.
You never saw a micro penis? Oh, wow. I mean, absolutely makes sense, but
I never saw that. But you know what's crazy about it is, like, you don't see that, but they keep the line in where he's like, oh, what, does Bobby, like, Bobby has a little baby dick too?
Yeah, they do.
And so,
they
like,
do.
That line is still in there, but you don't get to see the picture. And so I kind of
knew. What is this life you were living before?
She was very different. She was fresh.
She was pure.
And she was happy, you know? And then, like the testicles on the shoulder. There's just so much within this film that, like, when you see the edited version, mm-hmm. the reactions that people have feel kind of unfounded. Like, you don't understand why this is happening. And also the aftermath, they don't change any of that.
No.
So you're still getting the lines and you're still hearing what they're saying, but what they're saying isn't matching the gags that are happening on screen. And so, yeah, I don't know. It's just so different. I will even say there are some jokes that went over my head, I feel like, when I was younger,
mm-hmm.
that I'm finally kind of privy to.
Yeah.
Like Buffy being Miss Fellatio.
Yep.
I don't think I ever really noticed that before.
Never got that one. I will say I never understood the Doofy and the vacuum cleaner
Vacuum
joke.
Cleaner, yeah.
That one also went over my head.
Yeah, there's the like Gale Swallows. I don't think I ever really was privy to exactly why that was such an absurd thing to. I obviously it was like crazy for Doofy to take over the press junket, but I didn't understand why that was such a like damning thing for him to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was a lot of jokes that I did understand because I will say I do think there is a lot of like humor within this that is going to appeal more towards like younger kids. There's a lot of potty humor in this that I think you'll always understand. But then yes, there are also some jokes. But it's crazy too because like the joke with the sheriff when he shows Cindy the pictures of him,
mm-hmm.
like that's in there. I've always seen that joke.
Yeah, which that one's so funny.
Wait, I've always seen that. are you sure?
Okay, worth a shot.
Like, they always kept that shit in there. So, like, that I've always known. But then, yeah, it was just certain other things that they edited.
God. Now I kind of want to go back and watch the edited version just to see the differences.
Right?
But, okay, so I don't really think we need to do our normal, like, go through this film because, mm-hmm. like, at this point, one, if you're listening to this episode, you've probably already seen Scary Movie. And if you haven't already seen Scary Movie, what is it? It's a parody film off of the most popular 90s horrors at the time. So it's mostly based off of Scream, but it's also got some I Know What You Did Last Summer, a tiny little sprinkle of like Blair Witch in there.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other big horror calls that they make?
I mean, there's like very quick gags that I feel like gags, take from other stuff, but the main ones are Scream and I Know What You Did Last
Summer. Yeah, those are the main two that kind of carry this one. And I think like a lot of the scary movies kind of follow that formula where it's like one or two films will be like the seed films that all the jokes are coming from, and then you'll sprinkle in some other pop culture and horror references as well. But if you understand the plot of Scream and you understand the plot of I Know What You Did Last Summer, you understand the plot of Scary Movie. It's just an amalgamation of both of them. They're put together, they're smashed together. And what?
I just thought of another one.
Which one?
Bobby finally coming. I've never seen that scene. And it's full glory. I couldn't believe that.
It's as good as the freezer scene, which I don't know. Have you seen the freezer scene in its full glory?
I don't know. I don't know anymore. I don't know what's real and what's fake anymore. I can't tell you that for certain.
Okay.
But I couldn't believe the geyser that they allowed within this film. I had to laugh. I was like, I can't believe this.
I will say that was one of the parts in the movie that did still make me like audibly laugh out loud. Like every time that scene happens, I burst out laughing. It's the combination of how ridiculous it is, plus his body just shrinking.
Oh, yeah.
He's going full dried out SpongeBob.
I was like, I don't think I've seen that either. Yeah, he like his body gets like shrivels up like he's in thinner, and then because he like he explodes basically, and Cindy flies up to the ceiling, and I know for a fact I was like, bruh.
Oh my god.
Because even just like their sex scene, that is wildly edited down. Like all the stuff that Cindy is saying when she's like riding him and she's like grunting, like a lot of that gets cut.
Yeah, which also so, that part's so like her acting in that sequence is so funny.
I was gonna say is honestly all of the acting within this film is really good. Like everybody within this film to me is very comedically gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And they all play their parts, fit their parts perfectly. And I will say are very committed to their bits, to their characters, no matter how absurd or how ridiculous they are.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like everybody is so perfectly cast. It's honestly like it's very well done.
Yeah. And it's one of the few things that actually does make me miss parody films. Because, like, this level of wackiness, I feel like we don't see as often anymore. Where it's, like, you really go 120 with some of these jokes and, like, some of these characters and the things that they do. And it's so just outrageous. And it's, like, so unbelievable. But that's where a lot of the fun of it is. And it's, like, I don't know if we necessarily need parody, like, another parody movie era, but it is one of the parts of this era that I do miss is just like that sheer level of wackiness that these films are willing to go to. I'm curious, what would you say is your favorite bit in Scary Movie?
I actually have two bits in this that are always my favorite.
Okay.
My number one is Greg beating Cindy up and Bobby always very quietly in the background being like, stop, you're hurting her. Because honestly, I feel like there are a lot of the most effective gags within this film. And this goes for any of the scary movies, honestly. The most effective ones, I think, are the ones that very, very, very heavily draw on aspects from the film that it's parodying that do stand out, but not like in a crazy way. So I get, like, to explain, I feel like we talked about this a little bit too in our I Know What You Did Last Summer episode, how aggressive Barry is and how violent he is in the way that he approaches situations, mm-hmm. particularly post them killing that man. He like basically almost chokes Julie out in a way, like he grabs her really aggressively. And Ray is not particularly quick to defend or protect her.
Yeah.
And it's like one of those moments in the movie that I think is easy to forget about his character, but when you rewatch it, it's so blaringly obvious. And I love that they really highlight that in this movie, because one of the things about Greg is how intense and aggressive he is. That's like basically his character within this movie. And it's like anytime he gets any kind of blowback, particularly from Cindy, his first reaction is to like pick her up and like break her back and like throw her on the ground. And Bobby is very much like fading off into the background, barely standing up for her. And it's one of my it's so funny to me every time, just thinking of him being like, stop, you're hurt, stop it, you're really hurting her, man, stop.
That part's so good.
Kills me every time.
It's so good. I almost like I like both scenes with that. I think both are good. There's something about the "we take this to our grave" choke out that just cracks me up every time.
Oh my
Say,
gosh.
We take this to our grave. We're gonna <She's> like,
it's so good. That's consistently one of my favorite like aspects of this movie. It's only, yeah, like it only happens twice really, mm-hmm. but every time it happens it cracks me up. And then the other one that I really love is the the Gail Kenny relationship is so funny, like just their interactions, banter. But particularly when they're being chased at the very end and you can hear Kenny in the background like trying to keep up. Oh my gosh, it's just, it gets me every single time. I love him. Cameraman Kenny in this movie, it just, oh my God, it's so funny to me.
He's kind of the low-key MVP. I had forgotten about Cameraman Kenny. That's one of the few parts of this movie that had just left my brain. Mm-hmm. And my initial reaction to him was to be annoyed, but like every scene that you get with him, it gets better. And his apology for groping Gail,
yeah,
is still so funny to me. It's like the terrible like Caribbean accent with the just, I'm sorry, Gail. It was just so soft and supple.
I just grazed the top of the breast.
It was just the top of the...
All right, who copped a feel?
Gail, it was me.
Oh, my God.
It was an accident, Gail. I only touched the top of the breast. It was so tender and juicy.
Like, I think what's so great about it is it kind of feels like they let them improv with. I don't know if that's the case. I'm sure it was written, but the delivery of it just feels so like natural between them, mm-hmm. that it's just one of my favorite parts of this movie. It cracks me up every single time they are interacting with each other, and I never get tired of it. Like, yeah. Anytime their scenes play, I'm just, oh, like I never get sick of those parts.
Like, honestly, big shout out to Sherry O'Terry, who played Gail, for like, mm-hmm. just doing this rendition, because I think it's fabulous. Like, it yeah. still has the absolute heart of the character, but it is very clearly parody, and like it parodies all the funny bits about it, that I enjoy. And that's kind of like a blanket for a lot of scary movie, is like they were smart with the elements from the core films that they did decide to parody, because like there is humor in all of those moments, and it's like it's just a different lens that you look at all of those sequences with that I think can shift you from being terrified to laughing your ass off. I think like the opening sequence is a great example of that, where like that to me is where they really like honed in their parody and were like, we're trying to do a funny, almost shot to shot rendition of that sequence. And for me, that's what makes that sequence work, is just like it's watching the funny stuff on screen, but then remembering like, oh, I remember what part of the actual film that's from. Like, I see what they're doing there. Like, when the jokes are just that intertwined with the actual source material, it hits a lot better for me. I will say, even with all of that disclaimer, one of my favorite bits, always will be, outside of the what's up, is grandma getting hit by that piano. I don't know why, but there's something about the combination of seeing Ghostface like do his run down the stairs, followed by grandma just getting wrecked by that piano, that makes me laugh every time.
I love that gag of her running up the stairs and just throwing objects down, and then her running into her grandma and going, grandma! And she's like, hey, baby!
Just chucks her.
Yeah, just chucks her down. There's a lot of moments like that that, yeah, honestly, I do think are great. Those moments that really, because I honestly do believe horror, I think, is a genre that's just rife, like ripe.
I think both were right. I think you just didn't trust yourself. I think you had
both in. And I'm both in. Put all of this in. It's April Fool's episode. Who cares? that work. Like, I just feel like horror is that sort of a genre that works so well to be spoofed, because it is like,
it takes itself so many cliches. Seriously. Yeah.
There are like, and you expect to see them all the time, and so many to the point now that we make fun of them so often, but we do still kind of expect to see them. And that's not to say that there aren't other genres like that. Like romance, I feel like, very much is one of those. But I will say, I think that it works best in horror because even fans of it make fun of it so much. And like being able to see it be portrayed on screen, and it's the joke that you're expecting, but it's executed so well, that's fun. Mm-hmm. Like the whole idea of, oh, instead of running out of the door, I'm going to run upstairs. Or instead of grabbing the weapon, I'm going to grab a banana. Like just stupid stuff where you make that joke all the time, but it's fun to see it played out in the way that they do it in this, where you're like, yes, I get it. I agree. It's fun. It's fun. It's funny. It's silly. But also, it's kind of cool to see it played up. But also, it does follow a lot of these like scenes very similarly to what the movie actually is.
Yeah.
And it is kind of fun to see a parallel version of Scream, which is a movie it's already that doesn't take itself super serious, is pretty meta, but it's fun to see that taken even further.
Yeah.
And then like a movie like I Know What You Did Last Summer that is so serious and like takes itself so seriously, but is so right, like so heavily cliched. It's really, really fun to see that executed on screen and for the most part executed well, because I do think that the parts that they take directly from those movies, like those scenes, and then they just kind of mess with them and play with them. But those scenes are some of the best, like the scene with Buffy, seeing Ghostface behind Greg and like taking that and stretching it out and making it a little bit different. Like it works super well.
Yeah. And speaking of, another bit that I do absolutely love is Buffy's death. I just love the back and forth, and I mean, I don't want this whole episode just to be like, oh, I loved every single scene of the movie, because I mean, that kind of feels like how I watch Scary Movie. I do watch this movie with a lot of reverence, just because there's a lot of nostalgia attached to this, and just like a lot of humor amongst friends that I think I grew up with that is very directly attached to this movie. But it's hard not to, because it is, like you said, one, the biggest source material of all of this is Scream. And I give him a lot of credit for being able to write this script, because you are doing a parody of satire. That is hard. That is like, parody in itself takes its own form of like talent and its own form of thinking to write that way. But then to attach the idea of doing that for something that is already doing that off of something else that is already meta, that is already satire, that's really hard and that's really challenging. So the fact that this movie was able to do it so successfully for me is always like a big dub. And like, I commend them for being able to pay tribute to these movies that I think a lot of us really do love and hold near and dear, while still, you know, being able to poke fun at them. Like, that is why you watch these films, outside of the great characters. And of course, we haven't talked about him yet, but Shorty, best character in the fucking franchise. I love Shorty. We'll always love Shorty.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so funny to me about, like, obviously this changes, but how all this stuff happens in the first one and then in the second one, they are the same characters, but it's like none of this
actually happened.
None of this took place. Ray didn't try and kill all of them. He's just back. Mm-hmm. Like, people who get killed are back and better than ever. And I'm happy for it, because I do want to, like, these are good characters. Mm-hmm. Now, not all of them are back, but are like Shorty, Brenda, Ray being able to come back in the sequel is really fun, because they are really fun characters. Mm-hmm. And it's honestly, half the fun of this is just kind of getting to know them. Shorty, of course, is like a standout character, but I give it to Regina Hall as Brenda, because she is also so funny. And I like that scene in the movie theater. I think that scene gets talked about from this movie a lot. I mean, shoot, I see that meme used all the time where she's like, of her in the movie theater. I see it all the time, but it's such a great scene. And she's just so funny in this. She's honestly, I forget sometimes how little she's in this one. She really gets more screen time in the second one, because I will say, although she's kind of played up like she's gonna be the best friend character, and she is to a certain regard, I would say Buffy ends up kind of falling into that role a little bit more.
Yeah, until she just decides she isn't anymore.
Until all of a sudden now she's like her frenemy.
Yeah.
Later in the bathroom.
Which I always thought that was funny. But
Brenda honestly is not super involved in everything that's happening within this film. That which also I think means that when she is on screen, it just sticks out more, because I do feel like she is so like charismatic. She is just like, the way that she delivers these lines is so good and like so memorable.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like she took a character that, like I said, doesn't get a ton within this film and made it one of the most memorable characters. But to be fair, I think that's kind of the beauty of a lot of these characters within this film, is they are small, but that doesn't mean they're not memorable. Because I would even say, like, her dad, Cindy's dad, he is also one of my favorite parts of this movie, and he's only in, like, two parts of it. But I love when he, later on, when the police come, he like is so scared because he has all those drugs in the house, and he puts his hands up and she's like, put your hands down. I think that even stuff like that is so great. Like, this was one of those movies where you could maybe only be on scene for, I don't know, like a minute.
Yeah.
But you might still have one of the most memorable parts of this. Because even the people within the movie theater, they're barely in this. They're only in it for that scene. And I will never forget that old lady going, your ass is grass.
It's so good. so good. And like, even, I think every person who like gets some screen time gets to have some fun. And like, even some of the cameo people, like I was listening to a bit of behind the scenes, like Carmen Electra was talking about being in this one and how much fun she had just being able to play and like be a funny over the top character for once, instead of just being like, you know, like a Baywatch character. That it felt like everybody, even if these characters were quote unquote one note, there was still enough freedom for everybody to shine and to have fun with these. And yeah, I definitely think Brenda is like a standout in that way of like her character out of all of them really somehow managed to have layers despite trying. Like, it feels like she was written as a one note character, but Regina Hall did not play it that way. She really took it somewhere else, and in a good way that, like you said, made it very memorable. And she's even better in the second one.
She's obviously became like a fan favorite, so much so that every time she gets killed off in one of these movies, they just bring her back. Bring her back.
Because how are we gonna have this without her?
Yeah.
Now, granted, not everything is fabulous about Scary Movie to me. I will say, as I get older, as time goes on, the Doofy character does grate on me more and more every watch. And what's funny is, like, I think that character could be worse. Like, I do think, like, that character does still have some redeeming qualities. Mm-hmm. But in a cast of characters that I enjoy seeing a lot of, it's just, for me, always kind of unfortunate that we kind of went for the low-hanging fruit with that character.
Yeah, can I just say, I've always hated the Doofy character. The least favorite part of this movie to me, only because I feel like every other character, it's like they grabbed one little aspect of someone's personality and they like heightened it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I get it. It's like Dewey, I mean, we talk about this in our Scream episode, like Dewey is a little bit of a bumbling cop. But I do feel like there's a lot they could have done with that, and they just didn't. And Doofy is in much more of it than some other characters. And so I feel like, yeah, it's like the lowest they could have gone with that character. And then as a result, it just becomes a lot of like, he literally is just like potty humor. That's all Doofy is every time he is on screen. And I understand that they're like, oh, but there's a twist that's also a parody of another movie that's really well known, like, oh, The Usual Suspects.
Yeah.
Doofy was playing you the whole time. And I'm like, it's not even worth it. It wasn't even worth it to give me this little, like, last minute twist thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I get it. It's like they threw it in, and now it's like a parody of another thing that you maybe weren't seeing, that you wouldn't see coming. But I also feel like there is so much that they could have done with the character of Dewey.
Yeah, there was a lot of directions
that would
they
have
gone.
Been really funny, and I feel like would have played really well. And I like, instead they gave us Doofy, which ends up just kind of, yeah, I think just being really like just not great.
Yeah.
And none of the scenes that Doofy's in work for me. Like, I mean, there's not to say that there's not funny stuff happening around him. Like, there's some background stuff where like the characters are doing other things that maybe I'm still like, oh, that's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, every time we get to Doofy stuff, I'm always just like, oh
man. Yeah. Because it, like, for me, it reads as, like, laughing at him, where, like, all the other characters were laughing with. And
yeah,
that, for me, is kind of grating. So, yeah, I just kind of agree with you in that there were just options that we could have taken. And I understand early 2000s, this was kind of, like, an easy direction to go with it. But look, like, in hindsight now, it's just one of those things where it continues to bug me. And it's one of the unfortunate big cons about this movie for me every time I watch it.
Yeah.
Despite loving Scary Movie so much, did want to just touch on that for a second. But also another quick con, which this was a newer one for me, and I think this could all well just be fatigue from the amount of times that I've seen the movie. But there were a couple points where, despite the short runtime, it kind of dragged in places.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think part of that is the fact that I have just seen this film so many times. Like, I think I'm around the same realm as you. Like, I'm probably nearing double digits on how many times I've seen it. But it does kind of feel like in between the bits that I'm really looking forward to, I do tend to check out from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly could see that too. There's like a lot of this. This is a background movie in a way where you could throw this on and not really pay attention to it and tune in for the parts that you're waiting for and then tune back out, and it's great in that way. But I do, honestly, I kind of agree with you. I do think that there is a nature of just, to some regard, I just feel like parody movies in general, I get that way after a while, where I've seen them so many times where they don't hold the same kind of entertainment level that they did maybe closer to when they came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that this one definitely like falls under that. I wonder if I'm going to feel that same way about like more recent ones, watching them later on.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, yeah, I think it's really particularly fun the first time, like, to watch it and to be really involved in it. But at the end of the day, a parody movie and like pop culture reference films, they are really fun, but because they're following plots of movies that you've already seen, it's like you're kind of already fatigued from that original movie.
Right.
And now you're watching another movie that's making fun of it. And then kind of once you move past that point, it's like that was the draw. That was the thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're just kind of rewatching that and rewatching that. And even that being said, it's the same plot, but less.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the same plot, but it doesn't really have a plot.
Yeah.
Because the plot is just being a comedy, mm-hmm. is making fun of these things. And so at the end of the day, there's not actually a lot going on within the film. It's just a joke on a joke on a joke on a joke. And when not all of those jokes work for you, you're going to check out. Like when you get to a joke where you're like, ugh, or you get to a doofy scene, you're like, okay, now I'm going to wait. Now this is the time for me to check my emails. And then I'll hop back in during the scene that I like, that I think is after this. Maybe, I don't know. So yeah, I think that's the thing about it, is it's like when you have a movie that is all a joke, some parts of the joke land and that's fine, but the parts that you know you don't like, you're kind of just meh.
Yeah, you're kind of
that
just
section.
You're kind of just stuck there. And it's one of those things that, like, I know it's different for people in terms of taste, but I think it's a reason why a lot of just straight up comedy films will always have some sort of a like more serious moment or just like a decompression moment, because you do need that variance in order to retain people's attention. It's like even going to like a live comedy show, it's like after an hour and a half of laughing, you're just kind of tired of laughing. Like, you do need a break from the funny. And so that's one of the things with these parody films, like you were saying, is like it is just joke upon joke upon joke. Like, that is the script. And I think that might be one of the reasons why it felt like a long era while we were in it. But looking back, it seems like a short era, because I think in the early days of parody films, there was a lot of strong writing, where later on it just became about, all right, how many pop culture jokes can we make?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's when people really, really started to check out of these kinds of films. But
yeah,
again, thankfully for Scary Movie, those parts, there's not too many in there for me. But I did feel it this time. I did take a note of it. I was like, okay, there are certain parts in this that feel a little bit long. But overall, the experience for me is still a good one and a positive one, where the thing is, like, those parts that I do really like about this movie just outshine the dark parts so much that it just always brings me back in. And like, there, I just, it's because I know that there are scenes that I'm very much looking forward to getting to that help me push along. But yeah, it's, I think that's an unfortunate con that's just kind of baked into these kinds of movies anyway. But still worth discussing and worth talking about. But I guess, kind of winding down here, just a couple of rapid fire ones that I have. I will say my first note of this film was the fact that Kazam is a classic, and I will not take this Shaq slander from our Drew character.
Yeah. But looking back with child glasses, there's a lot of stuff where it's like, that was such a good movie. I do it all the time with Space Jam. I freaking love that movie. But okay, if Michael Jordan wasn't just reading directly off of the script. Now, granted, I still stick up for him because he's acting alongside cartoons, which is hard, even for a seasoned actor. Mm-hmm. But still, I haven't watched that movie in a very long time, but I do remember really liking it a lot.
Right.
Kazam. But I imagine if I watched it now, I'd feel similarly of, oh, he's fighting for his life against these lines.
maybe. But
also, last little thing for that scene. I'm sorry. No, I won't laugh every time, but a quick little fart is always going to tickle me.
Okay. All right. That's the one part of the opening sequence that I'm like, get it out of there.
I think it's funny. I think her little, is funny to me. And she goes, I didn't think you could hear that. I don't know why. I think it's that they used the perfect fart sound for me. I think if it had been any louder or longer, it would have been annoying. But because it's like a quick little, like a quick little, like, ooh, that just escaped. Oh, my God, I hate that word. But but yes, because it's just like that, it works for me. And I like her reaction to it. It's funny to me.
Fine. I don't like it, but I'll give you that fart. I'll give you that fart. Let's see. Other notes that I have here. The black TV van. That gag is always funny. When they're doing all the news reporters. I love that bit.
Yeah, I love that he can't even close the door before they, like, they're already driving away and he's trying to close the door.
White people are dying. We're out of here. That get part's
in,
so good.
Get in, motherfucker.
I do have a note that that little Diddy joke hits a lot different now.
I know. I was like, oh, there's that pop culture reference I was talking about.
It's like, it's crazy how things age in time and pop culture. But Jesus, that line is a lot different now. But yeah, I mean, like, overall, that's most of my notes. Like, I took some notes, but not too many. A lot of it was just kind of doing a nostalgia trip through this film. I do, like, for some reason, I do kind of forget the ending every time. And then, like, while it's happening, I re-remember it. Because they reference The Matrix, which is just so random.
It's very random.
But very of the time as well.
Yeah. Because, like,
it makes no sense. But, like, that bit's fun. Ray never actually fully being gay is hilarious to me. It's so silly, but
Ray is my favorite, like, version of himself for me in this end when he's just like, all that spit is flying out of his mouth.
But wait,
like, I was gonna say, that's one of my favorite lines. But wait, there's more. And, like, oh my God. And he's like, I'll be back. Which, because, I mean, first of all, he's doing a great job of, like, matching Matthew Lillard's kind of manic wit that he has within that scene, but elevating it and making it even more over the top. Like, he's doing a great job.
The kitchen sequence, the way that they parody that is very well done.
Is really great. It's interesting because it's like Ray, for the most part, is Stu throughout the film, but then he becomes Billy in the kitchen scene. It's like he kind of they switched roles in that scene, like, halfway through, which I always thought was really fun. I like the Wayans Bros reference. I freaking love that show.
I haven't rewatched it
in a while, but I used to watch that show all the time when I was younger, and love the theme song, by the way. If you haven't heard it, you should check that out. But it's a fun like reimagining of that scene. I agree with you, though. I always forget that whole idea of, like, but now there's a third killer, like that little twist that they add in that's different from the actual movie. That's the part that I always forget, is that they both get taken out. Both Ray and Bobby end up dying, and then there's a whole other fight, Matrix style fight with a third Ghostface. That part, it's funny because I also feel like I mix these movies up a lot, and I always feel like that part is in the second one, but it's the Charlie's Angels fight in the second one that I'm thinking of. So I always forget that there is a whole fight sequence within this one. Also, Shorty getting shot and the smoke coming out of his bullet hole is also always a great gag.
Yeah. Also, just the fact that Shorty and Ghostface are just best bros throughout the entirety of the movie is also just really funny to me.
Yeah, because it's like it's funny because it's a thing where you it kind of. They have to have Ghostface doing something while they have this very long sex scene with Cindy and Bobby. But it, yeah, it's just funny that it is with Shorty and they have this whole rap battle, which, by the way, Ghostface's verse is pretty fucking good.
I got one. Here it is, right? I got a slash and gash, cut another hole in your ass. I spill blood on the walls and play tennis with your balls. If the phone rings, don't answer that call. Gonna slit your throat, fuck you like a goat, peel your foreskin off and make a winter coat. Peace.
Yo. That was the illest rhyme I ever seen, Sarah!
I always enjoy it. And he also kills people whilst doing it. But that's the thing. His verse was so good that Shorty didn't even care that he had just murdered all of his friends.
Nah, because he just murdered that track. What you talking about?
Let's go. Shout out to Ghostface.
Who do you think was the Ghostface hanging out with Shorty?
I feel like that was well.
It couldn't have been Bobby.
Right, so it was either Ray or it was Doofus. Doofy. Doofy, I meant to say his government name, sorry. It had to be the two of them. Part of me wants to believe that it was Doofy, just like being actually himself. Because obviously he is, like when he's out of character, when he is Ghostface. Which is another thing is it's like, okay, Doofy has lived with them. Doofy was born into this family.
Biologically.
They didn't just pick Doofy up like when he was older and they were like, now you live with us now. Like he is the Buffy's brother, biological brother who has grown up in this house for over 20 something years.
He was playing the long con, clearly.
So when he was a baby. He decided.
He was steaming, is what I'm saying.
And it's like, even when he's in his bedroom, I guess.
He's committed still to the playing. Bit. I don't understand the problem here, Erica.
I understand, guys. You're probably rolling your eyes at me. It's a parody movie. But that's just crazy to me how he is consistently having to be this person. Allegedly, according to the film, except for when he's Ghostface,
he can be he's different.
The Ghostface version of himself, and then at the end when he drops it, and so somewhere along the way he revealed himself to Gail, or
Gail apparently,
always knew, or
I did never pick up that it was her that picks him up at the end.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that was this was the first time it really registered, because it's always just been like, who is that? Who the fuck just picked you up? And then, like, I was like, oh, okay, it's her.
Yeah.
I also do think it's interesting. I don't know how true it is, but an IMDb fact is that there was a different version where the third Ghostface was just another of the Wayans brothers, who was just pissed off that he didn't get into the film.
Which would have been really funny. It probably would have been a little bit more of like a...
It would have been more tongue-in-cheek, obscure, I think.
Yeah, like, I'm not sure that everybody in the audience would have known exactly who, like, what they were alluding to or who he was.
Yeah.
But I don't know, maybe because My Wife and Kids My Wife and Kids was maybe... I mean, let's be clear. Before that, there was In Living Color, which basically every Wayans sibling was on.
Mm-hmm.
So they were definitely all popular. But there would still have definitely been some people in the audience who probably didn't know.
Would not have understood, like, wait, Damian what is this Williams joke? Was.
Yeah. Because I'm sure there are some people who don't realize that, by the way, I love that he's just credited as Slave, but probably don't realize that Keenan Wynes is in this, in the Amistad 2 trailer. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm sure there are some people that probably don't realize that like, he's in the movie. Like, just don't recognize him. Like,
yeah.
And I'm sure they would have had him say it, like, say the lines and shit to clue people in. But I think for the overall effect, like, if they were gonna have a third killer, which they obviously were committed to, better to have a character that was part of it the whole time.
Yeah.
Even if it makes no fucking sense.
Yeah, true.
That's probably better.
True. But I think that's about all I got for a scary movie, unless you got some other last notes.
Speaking of course, to kind of what we were talking about earlier, like, how do you think, because like I said, the last scary movie was in 2013, did not do particularly well. I think we were just tired of them at that point. Because for the most part, I would say the first three scary movies did really well. I feel like once we got to the fourth one is when we started to drop off. And then we also used to have, I don't know if you ever saw when they did like Epic Movie and Disaster Movie. And like they started doing all of these parodies that also didn't do particularly well. Then we had A Haunted House and A Haunted House 2, which
I kind of liked, not going to lie.
Yeah, but I don't know. Do you feel like it's time for another one, or do you think we should bury them? I feel like we still touch on things like this because, like, to a certain degree, we do get like parody movies every so many years. But I don't think that they're to the same degree where they're not like so clearly parody joke after joke after joke like this movie is. They have a little bit more plot and they're more satire. And so it has that same kind of a comedic tone. But I don't think we have a pop culture parody in the same way that these scary movies have been. Do you think we're just past that now? Or do you think that if they were to try and do something else, it would do well? Because I guess going off of that, I guess like the closest we have to this would be The Blackening. Mm-hmm. It's like the most recent kind of iteration I could think of that's very similar. However, I'd say even with The Blackening, like it's more of a long one joke that they play with than like, this is a new joke and this is a new joke. And now we're touching on this pop culture thing. And like, obviously they touch on modern events and stuff like that, but it's not in that same way.
I don't know for sure, but I'm leaning towards we're past parody films. I just think comedy in movies has just changed too much over the past decade or so that like the kind of stuff that was working for Scary Movie and kind of worked in some of the later iterations. I just think we handle comedy and like meta differently now. So I don't want to fully say that no, you can't make a parody film in like 2024 when we're recording this, but I just don't honestly know what that looks like. Like I don't know like if it's a, we just need to get like a new batch of like big pop culture references and movies to pull from, or like if it's a different style of humor. I'm not really sure. I would love to see someone attempt it. I think it would be nice to at least see someone go out there and try and see if maybe they can revive the genre for a movie or two. But to be fair and honest, I'm just like, I'm not really sure. I just like, I know that the comedy that we were using for these style of films, I don't think is going to work as well now as it did back then.
Right. No, I'd agree with you there. Like I said, I do think that we still have elements of this in certain movies. Like I said, The Blackening, Tucker and Dale versus Evil. I would even say like What We Do in the Shadows, like stuff like that. I feel like we still touch on it. I just think it's different. I do think that there is a much more pulled back version where it is a comedy, obviously, and we are poking fun at these things, but there is still like an underlying story where we're not just clearly parodying a movie. We're parodying more of an idea. I think that's maybe what we've grown past, is we're not necessarily taking a movie and saying, I'm making fun of this particular movie. We're more making fun of like subgenres, elements within the genre, ideas within it. And like, even though this movie does touch on cliches, I do think that it focuses much more on the characters and the storylines that it's trying to make fun of. And then it weaves the cliches into that, where I just think that we're doing a little bit different now, which, to be fair, I think is working, and I feel like makes for an easier rewatch. I will say, I think some of these other movies that have come out, it's much easier for me to go back and rewatch them than for me to throw on a scary movie. Because I have to be really in the mood. Like I said, Scary Movie 2 and 3, I actually prefer more than this one. And I will rewatch them, but I will say I do have to be in the mood. Or I use them as a background movie.
Yeah, I feel that. So, yeah, don't really know in the long run, but it would be interesting to see. I would love to see somebody try, but good luck.
But, okay, let's talk about what we want to rate this out of. Also, can we just, one last little thing. I think it's a little bit crazy that the same time, basically, that they would have, Marlon Wayans would have been working on this movie, he was also working on Requiem for a Dream. Didn't they come out around the exact same time?
Yeah.
Vastly different films. That is so crazy to me. The range.
The range.
Let's just had to touch on that. The range. It's wild. But what are we going to use as our scale for this?
Oh, man. It's like I just want to use something with the Dick Impaling because that's new to you, but we can't do that.
You can't use the Dick Surprise?
Dick Surprise.
Is that too much?
What about
what it was to me.
A Glory Hole Surprise.
Glory Hole Surprise. I'll let that be. Okay. I'll let that ride.
All right. We will do this week's rating out of Glory Hole Surprise. Honestly, that's very in line with April 1st. I like it.
That's true, yeah.
Would you like to go first or would you like me to go first?
Oh, gosh. Do you know what you're going to rate it?
I think I do.
Okay. Why don't you go first? Because I honestly wasn't even thinking about rating it until this very particular moment.
You're good.
So I need a second.
All good. I think I'm going to go ahead and give Scary Movie 4 out of 5 Glory Hole Surprises. A lot of that, I'm not even gonna lie, is just carried by my love of this film and my nostalgia towards this film. I'm not even gonna pretend. there are things that I think have not aged well. There are some parts that don't hit the same way that they hit back when I had first seen this film. But what this movie still does for me is, again, those scenes that hit really, truly hit. And I think that Scary Movie is parody films at its prime. I think that it, while at the same time making fun of horror films, still pays a good homage to a lot of the things that make those films great. And I just love watching those two things intermingle with each other and have some really like strong belly laughs along the way. I just have always had a fond love for this movie. And to this day, that still remains. And so it's not perfect. I know that. And I keep that close to my heart every time I watch it. But for me, when I'm in the mood for Scary Movie, ain't nothing hits quite like it. And I think for that alone, I have to give it 4 out of 5 Glory Hole Surprises.
Okay, I'm going to give it a 3.5 Glory Hole Surprises.
Okay.
It's like I said, it's so interesting. The same things that made me laugh in this movie continue to. And some of those jokes are just so funny. I cannot fault, like, I quote this movie often.
So,
like, and
all the time. Not just used in general, just it's so quotable.
Yeah, and so I feel like there's a lot about this movie where even the parts of it that I'm kind of checking out of, it's still fun. I think for the most part, they did a pretty good job. And I enjoy the way that they took a lot of these elements, these small little moments from these movies, and elevated them into these really great comedic gags and bits. And what I like about this movie is, obviously, if I'm still quoting it to this day, so well done that I still enjoyed my I was like it's been a while since I've seen this, but I still enjoyed watching it this time around. It was actually crazy to me how much of this movie I did remember, despite the fact that it's been such a long time. But like I said, this movie isn't my favorite out of all of the scary movies, and there are times within this that I'm just kind of waiting for the next bit to happen. And so as a result, I'm not totally like entertained and invested the entire movie through. But when we get to those moments that I love, oh my God, I just meant they're so good. And honestly too, like I said, it was kind of crazy to me watching this movie some parts for the first time ever, apparently. And they still took me off guard and like made me laugh. And I'm kind of interested now to watch all of the movies and see what I maybe was missing out on, because yeah, I've never seen them in their full glory, apparently. So yeah, I think there's still a lot about this movie to love. And yes, it's dated, and yes, there's some jokes that are very specific to the time, like the "was up" joke particularly, but like I said, they chose movies that for horror fans and particular have stood the test of time, and therefore a lot of these jokes are still going to land because they are things that we're familiar with. They are moments within these films or aspects of these characters that we are still familiar with, and so as a result they kind of are still relevant, and that's really great. There's also some characters in this that like I just think are so great, and the acting in this is so fun. I really, really enjoy it. And I think that characters like Brenda and Cindy are just, they're just great. Like, you're just always going to remember those characters. So yeah, 3.5 out of 5 surprise glory holes. Glory hole surprises.
Very different things.
sorry. but that's it for Scary Movie. That's it for our April Fool's episode. Thank you so much, homies, for rocking with us through this one. Thank you for everyone who sat through our introduction. We appreciate it. But I would honestly be interested to hear not only what you homies think of this first Scary Movie, but I think just the series in general. You can talk to us on our social media. We are Homies of Horror on everything. Or if you prefer, you can always email us. We are homiesofhorror@gmail.com. You can email us requests, recommendations, and business inquiries. If you would like to come through our Discord, we would love to see you there. Discord is where we hang out with the homies, discuss horror, of course, is where we discuss horror. Of course, but we also discuss other things in there. The other homies are in there. We would love to chit chat with you. If you would like the link for that, it is in our social media bios. If you're listening to this on Monday, that means we are streaming on Twitch tonight. Twitch is where we play spooky games, hang out, have some drinks, have some laughs. We'd love to see you guys in the chat. You can also find the link for that in our social media bios. And last but certainly never least, if you are so inclined, we'd very much appreciate it if you'd leave us a rating or a review. You can do both on Apple Podcasts. The more we get, the better. Recommends our show to more listeners. And we'd just like to hear what you homies are thinking of the show. So if you have an Apple account and haven't done that, we'd love for you to. Over on Spotify, you can rate us by simply clicking the stars underneath our name. But that is it for us. we hope that you homies have a great rest of your week. Happy April, by the way. And we will be talking to you next time with another spooky movie.
Catch you next time, homie.
Bye.